And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brenton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Not much, Shane. The biggest news of the SEC season came down right before the SEC championship game. I don't know if you caught it, Shane, but old Tua gets spanked for throwing interceptions.
I didn't catch that, but I did see the Twitter reaction, brother. And I was just sitting there waiting for him to get a pick. Can you imagine this grown-ass guy getting belt, you know, for throwing a pick?
Yeah, for anyone that missed it, I'm going to play this quick segment here. This is Tua, the ESPN College Game Day show, leading up to the SEC Championship game. Just talking about, you know, the house he grew up in and how tough his father was, how strict he was with the discipline. This was just, it was pretty awkward.
But he knew the most demanding audience came from home.
It had to do with a lot of pressure. If I don't perform well, perform the way I'm supposed to, I'm going to get it after.
When you say I'm going to get it, just be clear what you mean there, too.
After. Oh. Well, just know that the belt was involved and other things were involved as well. And it's almost the same with school. You know, if I don't get this grade, I don't get this grade, I'm going to have to suffer the consequences.
All right, Shane, so how about it? You ever heard of a, I don't even know if he's a coach or what, I don't think he was his coach, but just coming home and getting whipped for poor performance on the field?
I have never heard that, man. I mean, I used to get my ass whooped all the time, but I think that stopped around 12, you know, when I could grab the belt out of the hand, you know? But a grown-ass man, I mean, so if my dad came over to the house right now and tried to bust my ass with a belt, you know, there'd be a fight.
Let's get to the big game. Enough of the belt talk, although...
Oh, what a game, Mike.
To be fair, the way Tua played, he's probably getting his ass beat as we record this, because he did not have a good game. And I thought, you know, if you would have told me that Tua struggled, had the worst game of his career... Two interceptions, only completed 10 of 25 passes. I would have said that Georgia ran away with this one, and it looked like that was what was going to happen until old Jalen Hurts came off the bench.
And let's just add, what if I'd also told you that he was going to miss the end of the game while they were down two scores? I mean, would you have said Georgia loses this thing? I mean, this game, I don't know, was a clinic on what you should not do. I mean, I think Kirby came out with the right play calling at first. I mean, the foot was on the gas and it was going, and it really honestly surprised me just how competitive this game was. And they had so many opportunities to close this thing out, and it just, Bama just found a way, brother.
Yeah, Shane, you and I were going back and forth during this game. I was making sure you had the damn audio clips ready. We had to promote the shit out of the fact that you and I both picked Georgia. It looked like we were damn geniuses. My Saturday Down South column, I wrote about, you know, this is a 2009 SEC championship game all over it. That was exactly, you know, step by step how this was playing out. We look like geniuses for about three quarters. Now we look like dumbasses that we are, because Alabama did it again, Shane. Nick Saban still never lost to a damn former assistant. I don't know if you know this, Shane, but according to Chuck Dunlap, Shane, the SEC communications director, this was the biggest comeback in SEC championship game history. I mean, it's just, unless you stomp Alabama and just get it done with, I don't think this damn team's beatable, do you?
No, I don't. And I really thought that we watched a national championship Saturday. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way it felt like to me. Like we were watching the best two teams in the country duke this thing out. And, you know, I mean, there were so many different things that could have, I guarantee Kirby ain't sleeping right now. He's, you know, he's probably thinking he'd like to have this back. He'd like to have that back. He'd definitely like to have that punt back, you know, but ugh. I don't know. There was some other things that happened that got him to that point and that they could have changed. Even that, I think, honestly, a lot of momentum went out when Hot Rod missed that kick. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a chance to go up three scores and kind of put this thing away. And it just felt like, man, Bama just kind of just stuck right in there. And that's what Saban's teams do, brother.
Yeah, now, on my first viewing, Shane, I agreed. Now, of course, that was a big miss. You know, that would have put Georgia up 17. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a momentum shift in the game. However, on my second watch back, I realized Alabama did get the ball back, and they were driving the following possession. And that's when Tua threw his second interception. That's when J.R. Reed made that. He made a hell of a play there right in front of the end zone. So I don't want to say that kick really flipped the momentum because Georgia still had it after that point. That was when the GIF went out that I was like, I thought it was pretty bizarre, but he was on the sideline waving his tongue with the damn Savage shoulder pads on. That would have lived in Georgia history had they won the damn game. But do you think that Georgia, I don't know, do you think they took their foot off the gas? Or I don't know if that's really the right way to put it, but It just seemed like there at the end, it seemed like they were kind of playing not to lose the game until, of course, that final punt. You know, we'll get into that, but that was a terrible call. But what are your thoughts on just, you know, Georgia really just didn't do much on offense, particularly in the fourth quarter there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Swift and Holyfield were averaging over 4 yards a carry this whole game. So, you know, the fact they got up and they leaned a little bit more on the running didn't surprise me. I don't know when I watched that kick, I had a gut feeling that you get when you play anybody, you're like, oh God, we're going to end up, you know, letting these guys back in it. And that's what, like, I thought when they got down there in that red zone and the way they got down there, I was like, man, they're about to go up three scores. This thing is going to be, I mean, this game's over. Mm-hmm. But it just, I don't know, it just felt like that was just a little bit, even though they got the pick later, I'm with you there, but it just felt like that could have sealed the deal, maybe gave these guys a little bit more momentum that they got this thing. But to answer your question, you know, it was very similar to last year's national championship game. I mean, almost eerily similar. You know, Jalen started this thing, they struggled, Tua comes in. Well, then now you got Tua struggling, and there at the end, Jalen comes in. And what did we hear like the last few weeks is that Georgia wasn't prepared. Georgia didn't have tape on Tua. And it felt like they didn't have tape on Jalen. I mean, Tua stayed back there Tua was under pressure the entire game. Kudos to the defense, getting some pressure, putting some, you know, some awkward looks in his face and making him force bad balls. But it felt like when Jalen got in there, it was sideline to sideline, and he moved that pocket and gave him – I mean, there was nobody in front of him. Anybody could have made the pass. So it just seems like they weren't prepared, and maybe there should have been some more stuff off the side to contain Jalen, just keep him in the pocket and force him to throw the ball. And maybe they didn't have that dialed up because they were more focused on letting nothing get behind them. So that's kind of my take on the game.
Well, I think for Jalen Hurts, from when I was watching it, particularly on my second watch of it, it seemed like they consistently had him in third and long situations. But mm-hmm. But I think they were surprised at how he's progressed as a passer. And you got to give him credit for that. You got to give the coaching staff credit for that. But I don't think they believed he could beat them with his arm. I think they tried to keep him in the pocket, and he burned their ass on multiple occasions on third and long. Of course, he did have the rushing touchdown that was the game winner. But I think that was just them scrambling because, obviously, we all know what a good runner Jalen Hurts is, but he mm-hmm. really showed it with his arm. I mean, he was far more efficient than Tua. And, you know, we got to give Jake Fromm some credit too, Shane. I mean, he was damn just wheeling and dealing out there. I mean, he was the best quarterback in this game. 100 yard, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, he was the damn reason that Georgia was kicking ass in the first half, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, he was very poised back there. He was picking his punches. And now on the other side, Tua threw some great balls too. And Bama had, I mean, them wide receivers, they had the drops. Mm-hmm. And it felt like there was a couple, I mean, easy scores that Bama could have had. And Fromm, you know, he was just on point. And I thought that, I think that was my biggest surprise, was just the fact that we even saw Justin Fields Saturday, because just because of how well.
How stupid was that, though? I mean, they brought him in there and he did like a 1 yard. It was like a 1 yard run. I mean, what in the hell were they doing?
When they came in, and I was like, I mean, we're here at the end of the game, and he comes in on the first down, and I'm just like, what are they doing? You know? And I don't want to move too far ahead, but I want to talk about this damn punt. Mm-hmm. This punt, I get it. A lot of people don't. A lot of people are upset with Coach, you know, going for it. But I just think he wanted to win so damn bad that he thought that he had something there. And I can't fault him. I mean, if that would have worked, then it would have been the greatest play ever in the SEC championship. And now it's the dumbest play ever. I mean, that's just one of those 50-50 plays. But the way they did it, the way they called it, that's what drove me nuts. You got Fields back there. Obviously, it wasn't a run. He was setting up a pass. There was an opportunity for him to hit a guy wide open coming across the middle, but he didn't do it. In fact, he tucked it and ran. If I'm Kirby Smart and I'm planning on running a fake punt, here's what I'm telling them. Throw the fucking ball. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you throw an interception that's 20, 30 yards down the field, who cares? It's a punt. But if you take a 2 yard, 3 yard loss or a 2-3 yard gain, then you're putting your team in a bad position right there at midfield and the momentum. So I just I can't fault Fields, because all season long they've been bringing Fields in to run the ball. They haven't been bringing him in to throw the ball. So when he gets in this, the lights are on him. This is the big stage, and he doesn't want to screw this thing up. His first reaction is to tuck and run, and instead of just launching it, which, you know, again, that should have been the coach saying, no matter what happens, I want you to throw the ball. Even if it's a bad pass or an interception or 20 yards off of anybody, I just want that ball down the field to give, you know, to give our guys a shot. So that's what drove me nuts about the play.
Well, Shane, let's go ahead and cut to Kirby Smart after the game, just talking about this specific play, because I think it was so damn bad. A lot of people I worked with, they didn't think he called that. I mean, they thought the players just did it on their damn own. But no, Kirby Green let that move. So here's Kirby Smart on what the hell he was thinking there.
Yeah, we had been carrying that forward. We actually carried it last year and thought it was there, and it was there today. And we were going to snap the ball quick, and we took too long to snap the ball. They didn't have a guy covered. We had a guy wide open, and we took so long to snap it that they ended up recognizing it and got the guy covered late. But it was probably 20, 30 yards field position that we came to win the game. We wanted to try to win the game. And I talked to the guys before the game about it and said, if we get an opportunity to run it, we're going to run it. And it was there. We just didn't get it snapped before they covered the guy.
After, you know, hearing that from Kirby, it sounds like he's blaming his players for the worst call I've ever seen. You said you don't blame him. I do blame him, Shane. And it was just nonsensical to me. I mean, they had a timeout to burn. He's saying they didn't get it snapped. Then call the fucking timeout. They got Justin Fields out there. They got DeAndre Swift. How often are those guys on damn punt team? Is Justin Fields out there on punt team? I mean, they were screaming that this was a damn fake. Alabama was not fooled at any point. Snuffed it out immediately. This is just so stupid. You're playing against a backup quarterback. You pin them deep. I understand going for it, but on 4th and 11, I mean, it's not even – if it's not there, there's no chance you're getting it. You know, I mean, it's just – and you're putting in the hands of someone that has taken – I don't know, 40 snaps on the year. This is just so stupid on so many levels. I can't get over it. And it reminds me, Shane, we kind of touched on this kind of earlier, you know, throughout the season. He's called the fake against LSU that failed. Mm-hmm. That really flipped the momentum in that game, I thought. He called the fake, I guess, Auburn with, you know, the game kind of there at the end, and it didn't work. And now that's out there on film, and that was pointless. I think they were up 17 points with about 3 minutes left. So why in the hell they call that, I don't know. Kirby just needs to fucking abandon all these stupid ass fake plays.
Yeah, because they're not working, man. I mean, I agree with you. I ain't gonna lie. When it first happened, I said, "What the hell did I just see?" And I had to do a double take of the score because I'm like, are they losing? You know, because that's what it felt like. I thought for a second they were down, but it was a tied ball game. And I think there was like 3 minutes left. Now, you got to remember the situation, too. Alabama has just scored 14 points in less than freaking 2 minutes. So, I mean, the momentum was definitely all on the Tide at that moment. So maybe that was a factor. And he, I mean, what were we talking? 3 minutes left in the game when this happened. So maybe in the back of his mind, he said, well, we don't get this, at least our defense could hold it up. Maybe he was even thinking about worst case scenario, an interception. But it was just, I don't know. It was a gutsy move. And yes, at first I thought it was stupid. But as I take a step back, this is the University of Alabama, man. This is a team that has been crowned the greatest team to ever play college football. You know, this is a team that even if they lost this damn game was going to make a playoff, no questions asked, you know. So they had an opportunity to kill this juggernaut, and he took it. So I don't fault him. I don't think it was the best play calling. I would rather see Fromm out there in shotgun and going for it on 4th and 11 than doing a fake punt and put it in Fields' hands. But I don't think it was the right call per se, but I don't blame him because you had a chance to put away the number one team in the nation. So that's just my 2 cents.
Now, Shane, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're a Tennessee fan like you are or a Georgia fan who had everything riding on this game or an Auburn fan who hates Alabama. I don't care who you are. I think you really had to feel good about Jalen Hurts coming in there. Obviously, I mean, you may be rooting against Alabama. Most people with that have felt their wrath was definitely root against Alabama when they can. But putting mm-hmm. that aside, the outcome of the game aside, you know, it was just something. It was almost like a damn movie to see this guy get back in the game and prove that he can still play this game with. Now, Alabama fans love to, you know, laud this guy. They forget that they fucking buried him this time last year and all damn offseason talk shit about him. They forgot all about that, but that's fine. I haven't forgotten. I know how damn good this guy is, and he went out there and showed it. I just what are your thoughts on Jalen Hurts? Just, I don't want to say redeeming himself, because I don't think he did anything to you know, get demoted. It's just the damn best player in the country is on the depth chart right in front of him.
It is like a freaking movie, isn't it? I mean, to get benched last year in the Natty, all this off season and this controversy, and there's no doubt Tua is the guy we want to start. And then here it is, Jalen winning it for you. I could tell the one thing about Jalen that I noticed was just how calm he was. Like, he's been there before. This is a guy that's won Alabama a lot of games. His seniority, it did show Saturday, and he didn't have any trouble with the pressure. So, it was just kind of like a good story. And I'll tell you what, man, if you know, there's a couple of free, I don't want to call them free agents, but basically that's what they are here in the offseason. These grad transfers that have opportunities to play at other universities. There's a couple of great, really good quarterbacks out there, and Jalen is definitely on top of the list.
Yeah, Shane. So here's Nick Saban immediately after this one, just talking about what he told to Jalen Hurts when Tua went down, and just his thoughts on his backup quarterback's amazing performance here. I don't know how in the hell Jalen Hurts didn't win MVP. They must have voted before he came in. I don't know.
Probably never been more proud of a player than Jalen. You know, it's unprecedented to have a guy that won as many games as he won. I think 26 or something over a two-year period. Started as a freshman. Only lose a couple games this whole time that he was a starter. And then all of a sudden, he's not the quarterback. All right, and how do you manage that? How do you handle that? You got to have a tremendous amount of character and class to put the team first, knowing that your situation is not what it used to be. And for a guy that's a great competitor, you know, that takes a lot. It's not easy to do. And he's always put the team first. He's gone in the game whenever we've asked him to go in the game, and we played him as much as we could so that if this came up, he was going to be ready. And I think it worked out great. And I think this is a great example of why guys don't need to run off and just transfer every chance they get or every time something doesn't work out. Jalen is going to be a more successful person in his life because of what he went through, not winning 26 games, but when he went through this year trying to be the kind of person who had to support other people after he was a star player.
Okay, Shane, so the damn most depressed, hard-assed man in the world, damn near at tears there talking about Jalen Hurts. I mean, he pretty much summed it up perfectly there. It's just kind of a selfless season for Jalen Hurts, and he finally got out there to kind of, like I said, kind of redeem himself. I don't even know if that's the right word, but that's certainly what he did.
Yeah, man, like Rudy down there, you know. I got all the players putting their jerseys on the coach's desk here at the end of the game, and I don't know. I think this was a storybook ending to a season. And again, we got more games to play with Alabama, and I just they look good, brother. What's Tua's situation as far as medical?
Yeah, so that's interesting, Shane, because on Sunday morning, Saban said, you know, he's had, I don't want to say a procedure, I don't think that's the right word, but he had some kind of issue with his ankle, and they say he's going to be out for 2 weeks, which,
oh, wow.
The upcoming game is not till, I want to say, December 29th, so he's got well over 4 weeks to get ready, or I should say right at 4 weeks there, actually, so... Yeah, Tua's going to be sidelined a little bit, so Jalen's going to be getting these reps here to start the preparations, I would imagine. I don't want to say controversy, but what do you think the plan is here moving forward?
No, I think that we do see more Jalen. Jalen's earned that opportunity in this last game, and I think Tua's going to be leading the team. But I think that we're going to see just a little bit more. Of course, Jalen's coming off his own surgery, and Gary joked about him not being 100%, but he's 98, you know. So just imagine here in 4 weeks, Jalen's going to be at 100%. And just that, you know, just he just adds a different dimension with your offense. And you have to prepare for a mobile quarterback and an accurate quarterback. So, it definitely puts your defense at a disadvantage.
Yeah, and you know, that's something I didn't even think about, Shane. Jalen Hurts broke his damn foot against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That was October 20th. So we're not talking that much time, and he's already, I mean, I just saw no ill effects of that. So give him credit for bouncing back from that. That's pretty huge as well. And I thought this was really funny, Shane, because after the game, you know, a lot of his press, you know, in his interviews and whatnot, he was very mm-hmm. short. He was not very revealing in it, most of the things he had to say. Apparently, he told some reporter that, you know, it had been a damn year since he spoke to anyone because he was the backup. So I guess he was a little rusty speaking to the media. But on Sunday, I guess he had a little prep, a little time to think about it. He was on the ESPN you know, the pregame bowl selection, whatever the hell that's called, show. Tua was on it, and this was pretty awesome. This is pretty short little snippet here, but here's Jalen Hurts on what was going through his mind last year when Tua came in and won the national championship with him on the bench.
Long year. You know, I can look back after the national championship game. You know, I'm in the hotel room with my parents, my brother and my sister, and you know, I'm in my parents, my mom and dad's arms crying. And I look up at my dad, I say, you know, what are we gonna do now? And he, you know, he told me, he looked me in my eyes, he told me, he said, we're going to fight. And, you know, I've been fighting for a year, not knowing what the result would be, competing.
All right, Shane, it sounds like, damn, Jalen Hurts is out to destroy the universe. If he doesn't get this Alabama job, I think you're right. I think he's gone. And, you know, that was kind of the offseason headline last year, you know, the most coveted free agent in the world or whatever it was he said. I mean, I think that's legitimate this time around, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, without a doubt, man. If he doesn't get more playing, like a significant amount of playing talent during these playoffs, then yeah, he's definitely gone. Don't you think? I mean, I can't see him sticking around for another year just to learn.
No, definitely not. Now that he's on path to graduate, so he won't even have to sit out. Yeah, I think there's no chance he comes back.
Yeah, yeah, he gone. But if he helps you win a natty, then another one. You gotta be extremely ecstatic with that.
All right, Shane. So obviously, coming off that 35-28 thriller, Alabama's another SEC championship, 4 out of 5, I believe it is, for the Crimson Tide. Now we've got some bowl games to get into. All right, Shane. So before we jump into, you know, obviously the rankings are out there and everything, but immediately after this game, this is the only damn time Alabama was tested all damn season. There's a lot of speculation that Georgia deserved to be in the top four, whether it comes down to the best four or the most deserving. So let's play this clip because Kirby Smart made it damn clear where he stood on it after, you know, nearly defeating number one Alabama.
Well, it boils down to one thing. Do you want the four best teams in or not? It's that simple. You know, they sat at home last year and got to go in the game while everybody was beating each other up, and they had a good football team. Give that coach across the sideline a vote who he doesn't want to play. And it'll start with us. I promise you, he don't want to play us.
Jonathan?
It's not our decision. It's their decision.
All right, Shane, there's no gray area there. After this game, where were you on this debate? Did you think that Georgia deserved to be in the playoff field there?
You know, it's funny because obviously I follow a lot of Vols, and Vol Twitter was exploding with negativity. And especially after this came out, they were just saying, you know, pretty much you had your shot. And I thought there for a second, I mean, I took a step back. I'm like, man, they went toe-to-toe with Alabama. And I truly believe, like, I'm honest when I say that I think we watched the national championship Saturday. So I think Georgia and Alabama are the best two teams in the country. And that's what a committee decides. Who's the top four? Not who has the best record. I mean, they clearly say it in the rules on trying to figure out who comes in this thing. Basically, they're looking for the best four teams in the country. Mm-hmm. And I'm with them. I think Georgia should get in. Now, on the flip side of the coin, Georgia had their shot. They shouldn't have dropped the LSU game. They shouldn't have dropped this game. They were signing their own checks. If they would have won Saturday, they would be in the playoffs without a doubt. And but I don't know. I thought he hit the nail on the head because I guarantee if you ask Saban and he gave you a truthful answer, the team that he does not want to play right now is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Shane. And I put this out there right before the reveal. Kind of like you were saying, if they're going to put the best four in there, I don't even think Georgia is number four. I think they're two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they proved that on Saturday. But at the same time, I could see the argument, you know, hell, they had their chance on Saturday and they didn't finish it. They didn't get the deal done. So I'm not really going to argue one way or another. I think they're one of the best four. I don't think it's a travesty by any means that they're not in it. Mm-mm. Because they had their shot there. But I don't know. I would like to see them in there. I would have loved to see Georgia and Clemson in a semifinal. I think that would have been amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Notre Dame and Alabama. I think that's the top four I would have most wanted to see.
Yeah.
But we got some good ones, Shane. So let's get, well, obviously what we got, Alabama against.
Wait. Real quick. What's the guy that does that was doing the committee show today?
The guy that was
like the guy off game day.
Reese Davis?
Yes, Reese. I don't know if you caught it, but he made an interesting comment. He says, you know, if this committee, if they truly want to go to a 6-game or an 8-game playoff, then they need to put Georgia in the top 4, because you talk about some boosters getting on the phone, some presidents getting on the phone, some athletic directors getting on the phone. If they would have snubbed a team like Ohio State or Oklahoma for a 2-loss Georgia team, you know, that would what would get the 6 or 8-game playoff thing steamrolling. So I just thought that was interesting. He made a good point.
Yeah, well, their job is not to expand the playoff. it's to get the best four.
I know. I'm sorry.
So what we got, obviously, Shane, number 1 Alabama against Oklahoma, number 4. That's going to be in, I think that's in the Orange Bowl. Mm-hmm. Am I right? I don't know. I could be wrong.
Oh.
And then we got Clemson, Notre Dame. And where the hell that game is? That's not the Fiesta Bowl, is it?
Clemson Notre Dame is at Arlington.
Okay.
And then the Hard Rock Stadium there in Miami is where the Alabama Oklahoma game will be.
Yeah, and Alabama, Shane, they've already opened up as a 2-touchdown favorite. So that that should be a barn burner. And Clemson is an 11-point favorite. Are we going to see two ass kickings here?
I think so. I think so. What I have seen of Oklahoma is they don't have a defense, and that's not good when you're playing Alabama, because they have both. And I don't see that being a close game. Of course, you know, if you remember in years past, Oklahoma has upset Alabama before, so crazier things have happened. But I just don't see that one. I don't see either one of these being a ball game, truthfully. I mean, I think we're going to see Clemson and Bama playing again.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, Shane, because I heard some people complaining about these matchups and just the large spreads, but we've had, 4 years now of these playoff matchups, mm-hmm. and so that's 8 games of semifinals. We've really only had 2 that were competitive. Last year, Georgia and Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl, that was a hell of a game, overtime game. And then the first year of it, Alabama and Ohio State, That was another classic. But basically every other game's just been, I mean, we've had Michigan State get shut out, we've had Ohio State get shut out. We had the Jameis Winston team lose by like 60 points to Oregon. I mean, it's just one blowout after another, which is really weird. And I think that strengthens the case that the playoff does not need to be 6 or 8, because every year we've had this thing, we've had 2 damn competitive games. I think that what that says is every year there's basically 2 or 3 teams that are deserving to play for the title,
mm-hmm.
and not 4 or 5. That's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed. You know me, man. I want more, and I think 6 would be a good number. You know, 1 out of each of the Power Fives, and then Notre Dame, I guess. Just kidding. But like, you know, 1 at large from one of those. I just think if you win your conference, I think, why not, man? Give them a shot. Even though a Pac team may get slammed or a Big Ten team get beat or something like that, if you proved it in your conference and you earned the right to get in a playoff and win a national championship, that's just my opinion.
All right, Shane, so let's run down these other games. There's 11 SEC teams going to a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Tennessee on the list here, but let's see. Let's
start. We got a few being played in Tennessee. That's cool.
Let's start with the Peach Bowl. That's a New Year's 6 game, and we got Florida and Michigan for the 20th time. No, it's the 3rd time in 4 years, and Michigan is favored by 1.5 touchdowns. So 7.5 points. Thoughts on that game, Shane?
Yeah. I really wish this would have got switched with another game. I think Florida-Michigan, we've seen this dance, and I think it's going to be a very competitive game. Mm-hmm. Their strength, I just think they match up well. But I really do think, I mean, we've seen it so many times, Mike. It's just they had an opportunity to mix this thing up, and they didn't.
All right, Shane, the game, I know you already you were referencing there, the other New Year's 6 game, LSU against Central Florida in the Fiesta Bowl. And LSU is a 10-point favorite. So you wanted to see Florida and Central Florida, didn't you?
That's who I wanted to see. At first, the first thing that came across my mind was LSU. I wanted to get somebody in there that could just stomp UCF. And Florida wasn't my first team. I'm going to be completely honest. LSU or Georgia, those are my first two if I had to pick. But Florida, UCF, just from all this national championship talk and this, oh my gosh, we're undefeated even though we almost lost last week. And we're the best team in the state of Florida. Just shut it all up. That's what I want. So I'm kind of glad. I think Coach O can get them fired up, especially if he takes some of the shit that's coming out of UCF and applies it to the players and let them know, saying, hey, these guys think they're the greatest team in the nation. And everybody's going to be watching them to see if we can prove them wrong and come out and just demolish them. I think that would be awesome. This is the only team I am hoping and praying loses during the bowl games. I mean, this is it. UCF. I want them to lose. I hate streaks, Mike. Streaks. I do. I can't stand them.
No need to hold back there, Shane. Just tell us how you really feel. All right, Sugar Bowl, Shane. This game, I don't know, but I don't know how I'm not feeling too good about it. But Georgia versus Texas. Georgia's a 12.5-point favorite. You know, we both just said Georgia probably should be in the playoff if they're picking the best four. And I don't have Texas anywhere near this damn playoff, so why in the hell are these two teams playing?
One second, I had to take a swig here. The thing about this game is the thing that concerns me about this game is the letdown. A lot like last year when Auburn lost, and we just talked about UCF, there was so much letdown that they just weren't playing. I mean, they were out there. I'm sure they enjoyed the trip, but it was nowhere near a ball game. And that's what I'm afraid about this Texas game. I'm afraid they're going to sleep on them, and then Texas has an opportunity. What's the spread on this one?
12.5. Georgia is the favorite, but hell, Texas just lost the Big 12 championship. So it's not like they're a hot team. They could kind of be on letdown alert too.
Yeah, but Texas barely got to that game. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they were just steamrolling everybody.
So they just back their ass into the Sugar Bowl is what you're saying.
That's it, man. That's what it feels like. And I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope Georgia beats them. And I mean, it's still way too early. I mean, we still got, you know, 3 or 4 hype videos to come out on this game. But I hope they get fired up and Kirby gets to eating on the sideline. But We'll have to see, brother. I just, at this moment, there's a huge letdown. I mean, they just lost the SEC championship. They just got left out of the playoffs. So, yeah, they're a little down there in Georgia.
All right, Shane. Now, not too excited about the Sugar Bowl personally, but this one I am, like in Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day, I believe. New Year's Day, Kentucky versus Penn State. Penn State is a touchdown favorite. What are your thoughts on this one?
You know, I said, golly, you know, I want a lot of teams to lose now that I think about it. UCF is number one. Penn State is probably my number three. Notre Dame is number two. So I want
the Kentucky. Shane hate list.
I hate James Franklin. Okay, let's just call it like it is. I hope that the Kentucky of the beginning of the season comes out for this thing. I mean, this game's played when?
New Year's
Day. Is it New Year's? Okay, so they've got a freaking month to prepare for this. So y'all better be icing Benny Snell's knees and getting him ready. And I think this could be a hell of a game, brother. I do. I really do. It depends on what, you know, you were talking about. Depends on what quarterback shows up, Wilson shows up or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Kentucky defense will be ready. I mean, this is a big game. Can you believe that? Kentucky's playing on New Year's Day. I mean, this is huge for them. So bring the kids down there to Orlando and see Mickey Mouse and all that good stuff. So this is just going to be a fun ball game. And I hope Kentucky just demolishes them.
If they get a win here, Shane, Kentucky will reach 10 wins, which is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. Because Coach gets an extension, don't he?
Well, I don't think it. I don't think it extends to the bowl games. I think it has to be regular season. But still, all right, Shane. How about this one? Texas Bowl, Vanderbilt and Baylor. And I didn't realize it till just this moment here, but old Jalen Hurd. You know what team he plays for, don't you?
Yeah. That's kind of crazy, man. I mean, they were in the doghouse last year. I mean, they were rock bottom in that conference. The fact that they made a bowl game is impressive in itself. So, where's this one played at?
Houston.
Okay. So.
Oh, and I forgot the spread here. The spread, Shane, is, let's see, Vanderbilt is a 2.5-point favorite.
Man, to sit here and act like I know anything about Baylor, I'd be lying. I got how many days to prepare for this game?
December 27th, so you got quite a few.
Okay. Last time I saw Baylor, it was, what was that big guy they took a picture of, and he became like a...
Oh, Oakman? Sean Oakman?
Yeah. Like the meme that was spread around everywhere. That's the last time I remember Baylor. Baylor used to be good, and but no, I'm proud of Vanderbilt here, and I think that... They're so balanced that they're going to be able to stay in any game. So they got a good defense. Kyle's playing. He is top shelf right now, so he's killing it. The running back, I hope he's healthy. I know he was banged up in the Tennessee game, but hopefully by this time he'll be ready to go. So this should be a good competitive ball game.
How about this one, Shane? The Music City Bowl here in Nashville, Auburn and Purdue. And let's see here. We got... Auburn, I would think, is the favorite by 3.5, so just over a field goal favorite.
I tell you what, out of all of them, the one that's closest that I can go watch is the one I least want to watch. That's just, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see who's on the sideline, you know, which coaches show up to this thing. But this game right here, I am not looking forward to at all. I mean... Are you?
How about this, Shane? Gus Malzahn, you know, his status is obviously on shaky ground. You got Jeff Brohm just turned down what people have said his dream job, his alma mater, where he went to high school, where he grew up. He turned all that down to stay at Purdue. How is Purdue not going to come into this game fucking with their hair on fire and wanting to beat the hell out of Auburn for Jeff Brohm, don't you think?
I think so. I do.
And Purdue's. What? Now, my next question, Shane, if that happens, Damn Auburn 7-6. And Gus Malzahn is like 1-4 in bowl games, 1-5, something crazy. He's got a terrible record.
Yeah.
If he gets his ass beat by Purdue and they go, I think it would be 7-6 on the year.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. Imagine how hot his seat is all offseason.
Exactly. Well, imagine this. Purdue comes to Nashville. Smokes Auburn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they go over to the Gaylord Opry, mm-hmm. and hang out there at the mall. And then somebody gets some pictures of Brohm with the athletic director of Auburn. And then next thing you know, you got a new coach and his name's Brohm. I mean, could that happen? I mean, if you can't beat him, hire him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that was Butch Jones's theory, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just not this game right here. Ugh. I just have no interest in. And I mean, I pull for all SEC teams. Don't get me wrong. I hope Auburn wins. But I'm just curious what is going to happen from now, December 2nd or December 3rd tomorrow. When's this game played?
December 28th.
I mean, we don't even know. I mean, I'd be afraid to put $100 that Gus is even going to be on the sideline during this game. So that's a long time to survive down there in Auburn. So,
all right, Shane, how about the Belk Bowl? South Carolina and Virginia. I didn't even know damn Virginia was making bowls these days, but South Carolina, 3.5-point favorite. It always seems like this damn Belk Bowl is usually an interesting game. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I remember that stadium. You don't remember, we got smoked by West Virginia there, and this should be, I mean, again, this is one of those teams, not a lot of research done, Virginia. So I am kind of curious how Muschamp closes this thing out. And, the good thing for the fans, it's not too far away.
All right, Shane, how about this? The Liberty Bowl. This one, there's a couple duds on this list, but this one could be a good one. It's in Memphis. It's Missouri and Oklahoma State. We could have us a good old-fashioned shootout here. Missouri's a 4.5-point favorite. Thoughts on this game?
Dude, you hit the nail on the head. We got the mullet on one side, the golden goose on the other. This thing, I'm telling you what, could be the most exciting game that we see during the offseason here. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
All right, the Gator Bowl, Shane, down in Jacksonville. Texas A&M, NC State. Not watched a lot of NC State, but from what I understand, they've been a solid program, been good for back-to-back years going up against Jimbo squad. Thoughts on this one?
NC State going to get smoked, man. I'll tell you right now. I've done a little research on this team, and A&M top to bottom, a lot better than this ball club. So I think we're going to see a lot of points. We're going to see it early, and this thing's going to be closed out early.
You got no faith in this NC State offensive coordinator? What's his name? Dipshit or Diznitz or something?
Beer. Drink fast or something. I don't know. Something with alcohol. No, he just, I seen, that's mainly what I was watching, Mike, just to see, because it's a Tennessee move that we hire a guy like this. So I want to see what kind of offense we're going to be running next year. And, they're going to tear this guy a new one. So, where's this one at again? What's the date?
This is in Jacksonville on New Year's Eve.
Ooh. Is he allowed in Florida? Jimbo better have some security with him.
All right, Shane.
Florida State ain't made a bowl, or you know, they broke their streak, and now they got to go over and watch Jimbo in the state of Florida. I love it.
Final SEC bowl game here, the Outback Bowl from Tampa, Mississippi State versus Iowa. I think Iowa was in and out of the rankings all year, so. This is obviously Mississippi State's ranked, and Iowa's, I guess, a borderline ranked team. Mississippi State's a 4-point favorite. Thoughts on this one?
It feels like a 6-3 kind of game, Mike. Like, if you're watching that Missouri game and you're so sick of watching offense, you could just turn this one on. That's what it feels like. I don't know anything about Iowa. Just, it feels like a defensive town or defensive team, and obviously, you know, Mississippi State's got one of the best, if not the best defense in the country. So, yeah, it just feels like a low-scoring game.
All right, Shane. So, speaking of these bowl games, we've already got some. You know, this is kind of like the new trend here in college football, but guys sitting out and whatnot. LSU defensive back, redshirt sophomore Greedy Williams, one of the best corners in the nation. He's announced he is going pro, and he plans to sit out the bowl game. And Christian Fulton, the other corner, he's out due to injury. Devin White may miss the game because he may go pro and sit out. So what do you know, Shane? LSU may be down their entire damn defense for old Central Florida in the Fiesta Bowl. What are your thoughts on that?
Here's my thoughts, Mike. Do you remember when I was talking about the Egg Bowl? Mm-hmm. And do you remember when I said that there was a moment in this Egg Bowl rivalry? It was an Ole Miss practice. And an airplane comes over and drops these brochures, these little flyers. I mean, just dump thousands of them. And it comes down on the practice field, and it's propaganda, okay? And on this propaganda, it's made to look like it was from Mississippi State saying, we're gonna smoke you, we're going to kick your ass, all this stuff. And it got Ole Miss pumped up, and they ended up winning the game. Coach O is potentially losing three of his best defensive linemen against the University of Central Florida. They have got to win this game. So they need to do something. They need to send propaganda to Greedy saying, it's probably best you sit out because we were going to smoke your ass. You know, even if it's a fake Twitter account, I don't care what you're doing. Just get these guys fired up about this game because they cannot lose this game, Mike.
Yeah,
and they're down their three best players. I mean, Greedy and White. I mean,
Devin White's not said anything. Oh, okay. But there's speculation that he may. I think that's all it is. Just pure speculation. But you gotta wonder because he is my God. He looks. If there's an NFL player in the SEC, it's him. You know what I mean? So he may be the top one off the board. You just don't know if that guy's gonna measure his his options there and decide to play or not. I hope he does. But, of course, you know, that's got to be his decision and his alone to make. So That's just one to watch. We got another guy, Michigan defensive tackle Rashawn Gary. They're saying he's a likely top pick. He's not playing against Florida, so we're already starting to see some of this. There could be a number of guys kind of sitting this one out.
Do you like that? I mean, does that drive you a little nuts?
No, because I think it's completely up to them. And yeah, mm-hmm. it's easy for you and I to sit here and say they should play or they shouldn't play, but what in the hell does it really matter if LSU wins this game? I know that may be like a bad way to look at it, but you know, look at that. Who was that linebacker for Notre Dame? Jalen Smith, I think it was his name, and he tore up his knee against Ohio State in the bowl game. It cost him millions of dollars. It's not really right for me to tell someone, you know, put your ass on the line for my entertainment. You know what I mean? I feel like that's what we're doing for telling them they need to be playing. I understand the team aspect of it, but at the end of the day, these are damn exhibition games. I'd hate to see, you know, Tua sit out. You know, they got a damn championship on the line. I think that's a little different. I don't know. I think it's every individual. It's their own decision to make, and definitely not gonna you know, judge a guy for sitting out and trying to get millions of dollars when this may be his only shot to ever do that, you know?
No, I got you. It's just, I don't know, man. When you play football for so long, you're like brothers. You're like family, you know, and it just seems like you're letting somebody down. You know, just give you an example here. Do you know who David Dupree is?
No, I don't believe I do.
All right, I don't really either. It's some random senior I picked off LSU's roster. He's a tight end. This may be his final game. You know what I'm saying? Like, he will never play football ever again. And the last game that they're going to play is against University of Central Florida. And if they get beat by the University of Central Florida, they're going to be labeled as the ones that let them win a national championship. You know, that's his final game. And that's why I just think I get it, man. If you're going in the first round, there's millions of dollars online. Here's your family online. You know, some of these guys got kids and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I get that. But I don't know. At this point in your life, you've probably played football for, I don't know, 16 years. This team is what's kept you going and maybe got you through some hard times. And there's a guy on that team that will never play again. And when you sit, I mean, it's just it just feels disrespectful for the other ones that just don't have the potential to go the next level.
What was that guy's name that you said?
David Dupree.
Well, he's a starter now because these guys are sitting out. He's getting all the PT he wants. Maybe he loves it.
Oh, man, that's a good point. Not if he's on South Carolina.
All right, so two final things we wanted to hit on from the news front here. Old Jim McElwain, that old shark fucker, he took the job there at Central Michigan. Thoughts on McElwain getting himself another job?
There's no sharks up there, is there? I mean, they got the Great Lakes, but
yeah, that's all freshwater.
So there's no – okay, yeah. All the jokes die there then, I guess, you know. But that's a good place for him, you know. I think it's kind of funny when you have a coach that is moving up the ranks. And now, before he went to the University of Florida, he was at – what was it, Boise?
No, he was at Colorado State.
Okay, it's one of those. Okay,
and
so he was out there.
Before that, he was Alabama's offensive coordinator when they won the title.
Oh, okay, so – I mean, I think it's kind of funny. Like, sometimes these coaches, they come in, they get these big jobs, like, you know, big Power Five jobs, like Jim did. He's at the University of Florida, mm-hmm. and it didn't work out. And it's just, I don't know, it's just weird how far they fall behind. It's just like, you know, they may have had a bad run, bad recruiting class or something like that, and they just couldn't get it working. But all of a sudden, they just drop two tiers in teams. Of course, Central Michigan is, you know, they're a pretty good ball club. I think they'll be okay there. But I've seen it in the past, you know. Hell, Butch is a analyst for Alabama, you know.
Now, how about this one, Shane? So this does not appear to be 100% final, but it seems like 20 different places reporting it. Georgia defensive coordinator, we talked about this, Mel Tucker, going to Colorado, apparently. Thoughts on that? You know, Georgia's losing their only defensive coordinator under Kirby Smart.
You know what's kind of weird? I mean, don't this story sound a little weird? Everybody came out and they said, oh, he's got the Colorado job, but there's nothing definitive yet. There's strong speculation that he's taking the position.
Well, I think that had more to do with the fact they just played this huge game.
Yeah.
And it's really disrespectful. You know, you're playing the game and then it's like, hey, the defense coordinator is officially leaving. You know, it just takes away from the game. So okay. I expect this will be announced Monday morning.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I kept looking for stuff and I couldn't find it. So I was honestly surprised he didn't take a Georgia Tech job. But maybe he wants to get out of there. You know, didn't you say he has experience out west there anyway?
No, that was old Derek Mason. Oh. So yeah, I don't really see the fit here. But you know, a lot of guys just want it. It's a Power Five job, it's a head coaching job. You know, if he turns this damn thing around, he could get any damn job probably. You know, outside of the major one. So, I mean, I don't want to say it's a bad move. It's just, I just think it's an interesting move.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I think he had so many opportunities to go different places. It just kind of surprised me. That's the landing spot, especially now that you tell me he doesn't have any. It'd be one thing like if he's done some assistant work there before, maybe knows a lot of coaches in the area, something like that, but he's going to like fresh green area. So that would be curious. I still thought Georgia Tech would be a better job for him, but that's just me.
All right, Shane, the last thing I've got here, I got a quick mailbag for you.
Okay.
And this comes from our guy, Hugh Clark Jr. He shot this to me via email. And we didn't even talk about this game. I'll tell you why, Shane, because I'm not going to lie to anybody. I did not watch this game. I tried to find it. I watched TV through YouTube TV, Shane.
Yeah.
And they did not offer this game. That's how great it was. But South Carolina beat the hell out of Akron on Saturday. We teased it all week. The munch, what do we call it?
The championship.
The championship. There you go. So, old Hugh, he got a little pissed off at the championship, and I'll tell you why. So here's his email. I've been a Will Muschamp fan up until the Akron game. I don't know how to feel about him anymore. I'm watching the game and South Carolina is up 28-3 midway through the third, and I told my wife that the starters need to come out due to unnecessary injuries. Sure enough, Zach Bailey, our best offensive lineman, breaks his leg. Zach was one of the few that could have been playing on Sunday. I think Muschamp owes him an apology and at least $2 million. Am I wrong for feeling this way? I'm super pissed at Will and disappointed for Zach. And he also notes Alabama and Georgia was the best. Way to go, Jalen Hurts. So what are your thoughts on that, Shane? On, you know, I think he makes a good point there.
No, he does. And, I mean, was there anything to gain? Let's say hypothetically, not that they were going to, but let's say they lost that game. Are they in a different bowl, you think?
No, they're in the same damn Belk Bowl.
That's what I'm thinking, man. So why have your starters out there? Because that game does not matter. A bowl game does matter. Winning a bowl game for your university matters. And having your starters out there, like you said, I did not watch this game either. And there were so many games on Saturday. But this one here, I mean, I didn't watch a single minute of it. But what I did hear is that what's-his-name played – The whole time, right? The quarterback?
Yeah, Jake Bentley. So he played, from what I understand, the entire game. Michael Scarnecchia, redshirt senior, did not see the field in his final game at Williams-Brice, even though the Gamecocks were kicking ass. I think that's a very poor job there. I don't know what the hell Muschamp was thinking of. I mean, Hugh's right. They're risking injury, unnecessary injury. I think it's disrespectful to, you know, a lot of the seniors that could have played one last time in that stadium. I'm sure Will Muschamp, you know, didn't go into it saying, I'm going to piss all these guys off. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But I just think it was an oversight. And I don't know. Like he said, it cost them one of their best damn players here. So, I don't know. Poor job all the way around here for Will Muschamp, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure, man. That's stupid. I mean, it wasn't even a close game. So the fact that Mock didn't get some actual playing time on his last time that he could play at home, man. I mean, that's just, I don't know. That's stupid. Maybe it's best I didn't watch this game, you know?
That's why we call it the championship. All right, Shane, before we jump off here, you got anything else?
Yeah, buddy, I've got some reviews.
Thank you for being a friend.
All right, guys, this first one comes from Baker 1949. It's titled SEC, rated 5-star. Enjoy the insight and the humor. Appreciate that, Baker.
Mm-hmm.
This next one comes from Kang Kirby. Best part of my day, 5-star. Let's go. The show is epic. Tell the Truth is awesome, which we really need to do one of those here soon, Mike. I gotta do some prep. But anyway, funny and insightful SEC football on crack. Can't get enough and look forward to listening while sitting in D.C. traffic, wasting my life away. King Kirby. Well, I appreciate that, brother. All right. This one comes from K. Smith, 421. This is the pod. 5-star. I love this podcast. These guys are hilarious and informative. Glad I found this show and will spread the word. Keep up the great work, guys. Go Gators. Wish Shane would change that ugly Twitter handle. Never happening. But I do appreciate you, Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith. This one comes from Mac 0038. Hey, buddy. It's 5-stars. Love this show, guys. Found this show a couple of weeks ago, and I'm mad I didn't find it sooner. Hope y'all keep sending them out, because I'll keep listening. Go Vols. Oh, right. Big Vol fan. Appreciate that, Mac. Two more. And this one comes from Joe Aggie 98. Great podcast. 5-star. I listen to these guys every day on my drive to work. Great podcast, and I love the SEC insight. I'm an Aggie and usually listen to A&M podcasts, but this is my go-to to get the grasp of what's going on over the league. Keep up the great work, guys. Joe Aggie, class of 98. Appreciate that, Joe. Last one here, CJSLGGA, cool name. SEC Review, 5-star, best and most informative SEC podcast I have run across. Kudos to Mike and his cousin Shane. Appreciate that. Long name. I appreciate everybody hanging out with us. I hope your team made a bowl game. I'm looking forward to some great ball games. We still got a few more. So you better soak this last month up, because it's going to be a long time before we have football again.
Yes, sir, Shane. I'm ready for some bowl action. Hopefully, God, I hope we get another game like we did against that in that SEC championship. That may be a damn all-timer. I don't know if it could be topped, but hopefully these playoff games, some of these other ones, I hope they really come through for us.
Absolutely. And I just hope UCF gets that ass stomped. That's all I got, man. I appreciate y'all, and go Vols.